Good morning. It is 7:49 and you are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Wednesday, August 22nd, 2012. I'm Holly Keene and this is Raven News. Sea Alaska says it's better party to take ownership of Readout Falls. Sheldon Jackson College trustees announced Monday that they were advancing their claim to 160 acres in the area, including the falls, the west end of Readout Lake, and part of a nearby bay. The much-used fishing area is about a 15-mile skiff ride south of Sitka. The trustee's attorney said he had documented ownership and sale of the property since the Russians left Alaska. He said the most recent transfer in 1981 put the property in the college's hands. Sea Alaska claimed a smaller part of Readout in the mid-1970s as part of its Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act land selections. It's the last of about 95 cultural and historical sites the Regional Native Corporation requested under the act. Sea Alaska Executive Vice President Rick Harris says the trustees' claims address long-gone buildings, but not land.
Plus, it ignores the historic Tlingit use before Russian occupancy, during Russian occupancy, and then even after Russian occupancy.
Harris says Sea Alaska can prove Readout is a Native cultural and historical site eligible for selection under the Settlement Act. He says the Federal Bureau of Land Management, which determines such claims, was close to conveying the land when trustees filed their claim. Harris says Sea Alaska has been negotiating a management and use agreement with the Sitka's municipal and tribal government, as well as the Forest Service.
The Sitka tribe was very clear in its expectation that this site would be one that all of the community would be able to use for subsistence purposes. And that the fisheries enhancement projects that are currently on the site are ongoing.
The tribe would manage the area. Critics have worried Sea Alaska might lose Readout as well as other lands if failed and went bankrupt. Harris says Sea Alaska is financially secure, and residents shouldn't worry more about a possible Sheldon Jackson takeover.
They're an organization that is, I will say, a defunct institution, and it has creditors. We don't understand what their relationship is, and if Sheldon Jackson actually receives title, I'm not certain how they can guarantee that the property will not be transferred to another entity.
The college trustees updated their claim with more ownership information earlier this month. It did not include the actual Russian deed of sale, which they say can't be found. Sea Alaska has until early September to file its response. The corporation has taken no position on the 150 or so acres of the trustees' claim that is outside Sea Alaska's land selection. A Democratic hopeful for Congress made his way through Southeast this week, including a stop in Sitka. Matt Moore is a 52-year-old former North Slope worker who now manages medical practices. The Anchorage resident is one of five people in a crowded Democratic primary for Congress. Others on the August 28th ballot are State Representative Sharon Cisna of Anchorage, Deborah Chestnut of Fairbanks, Doug Icurdy of Eagle River, and Frank Vondersaar of Homer. One of them will face Congressman Don Young, a 20-term Republican, and Jim McDermott, a Libertarian. Young also has some primary challengers, Terry Gales of Eagle River and John Cox of Anchor Point. Moore says he knows the odds of unseating Young are long, but that he has reasons for running.
One, it gives people a choice. And second, if people have gotten to the point where they're tired of this sort of representation, or in this case, maybe misrepresentation, there's another option that's out there for them. You aren't going to have to choose between the lesser of two evils. You can find someone that's articulate, intelligent, someone that's actually rooted to the state, and someone that plans on being here for the rest of their life, which is me, to represent them. I would say, that's pretty good. My odds of beating him? Oh, we'll have to see. If I make it through the primary, and if he'll show up and we can go on and start debating, I think everyone will see the difference, and I think the table will turn very quickly.
Like many candidates for office in Alaska, energy needs comprise a large portion of Moore's platform. He says he'd work to open up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, or ANWR, for oil development. He says he would do that by talking to other Democrats who have been opposed to ANWR development and convincing them to change their minds. We asked him how.
The way to do that really is to start forming relationships with other politicians in Washington as quickly as possible. Find the ones that are really absolutely 100% against it. Talk with them about it and actually bring them up here and show them what we're talking about. and really what the benefit is for our state. Because when I look at it on a nationwide basis, you know, we could actually get cars that have better gas mileage, put those in place, have people start riding bicycles once or twice a month, and we could actually offset what would be able to produce in Anwar very easily. But right now we can't. We don't seem to have the political will in our country to do that.
Opening Anwar, he says, is important to jobs in the state and to the state's economy. Alaska's state budget is fed largely by oil revenue. Moore also says, though, that he values the pristine parts of Alaska and wants to see those maintained. Closer to home, we ask Moore about the Sea Alaska land selection legislation. Two bills in Congress would convey land to the regional Native corporation. The version sponsored by Senator Lisa Murkowski has undergone a series of changes based on hearings and public testimony. The House version, sponsored by Young, has remained largely unchanged.
In this particular case, yes, there should be some compromises that are made. They should have an opportunity to go out and look at other parcels. The big question is it just a trade of land for land that's been used up, such as logged, for land that potentially could have a logging value to it? If it's nothing more than that, that's going to be a real problem. That's going to be a hard pill, I think, for everyone in the Southeast to swallow. If it was something more than that, I think people could look at it a little bit differently and be a little bit more supportive of it.
That's Matt Moore, one of five candidates hoping for the Democratic nomination to Congress. You can hear our complete interview with Moore on our website, kcaw.org. Once there, you can also link to information about the other candidates. In Sitka over the weekend, about 200 people went searching for life. The volunteers were participating in the community's first all-encompassing BioBlitz. The goal of the event is to find as much life as possible and catalog what it is. That means everything from beneath the sea to above the mountaintops. KCAW's Ed Ronco reports.
John Hudson works for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in Juneau, but at the moment he is standing in the middle of a creek in Sitka's Stargavin Valley. He's teaching a group of bystanders how to capture aquatic invertebrates, bugs that live in the water.
Okay, so you're going to get your socks wet, but here's how it works. You just use your feet to kick up the substrate, all the insects that live on the gravel, and then the spaces between the gravel will be dislodged into the current of the water, and then the current will take it right into your deep brain net.
So he calls it the benthic dance.
Someone hum a tune to help me out here? No? Okay. Kick it up. Stir up that benthic zone really good.
This continues for some time.
And then after a few minutes, shake your net, rinse out all the fine sediment, get it out of there so we can see the bugs better. And then you'll deposit your sample, and as you can see, we have a small...
He overturns the net into a shallow pan full of creek water. At first, it looks like powdery mud, but then parts of it start to move.
Ah, I see Amelitis. So we have one species, folks.
The first find of the day. Definitely not the last, though. And Hudson, by the way, is really into bugs. He knows about their tiniest features, from a macho little stonefly called a Sweltza.
They have hairy chests. That's if you look at them under a microscope, and that's
really
how you can tell the genus.
Oh, that's funny.
So you flip them over, and it's actually their armpits.
Really?
Where their legs attach to their body, their thorax, there are all these black hairs. So it's like
to the predaceous diving beetle, which attaches an air bubble to itself so that it can breathe underwater.
Oh, it's so fun to watch them fight that. It's like trying to go underwater with a life jacket on. It's difficult. But they use their forelegs to hold on, their front legs to hold on to debris and stuff.
Kind of kick it around.
Once they reach the bottom.
Those are just a few of the things Hudson is able to recite without thinking twice. But he says connecting people to that information in a way that goes beyond weird bug facts is really important.
So many people stand next to the edge of a stream and don't realize the amount of life there is down there and how important it is to them personally, you know.
For example, among the species collected from the creek were hundreds of juvenile fish, including Dolly Varden and little tiny coho salmon.
Well, those coho, of course, spend a lot of their time in the ocean, depending on the productivity out there, but they spend a couple years in these little streams that often go unnoticed. And it's the health of these watersheds and the forests next to them that really
drive the productivity of the streams for these coho.
So the healthier the stream, the more diverse menu of bugs inside it. More bugs means better nourishment for the coho, means more fish for the ocean, means more money for the local economy, or more fish for your table. Hudson says building that connection is a huge part of BioBlitz.
It's simply connecting people to nature, getting them off their couches and outside to take part in the natural world and see what's out there living and appreciate biodiversity because it's so important for all of us.
Well, this is the perfect intersection between hard science and citizen science, really.
Scott Harris is the Watershed Program Coordinator for the Sitka Conservation Society. He's one of the organizers of the BioBlitz, and he's also a participant.
I just did the forest insects, and I'm going to go do aquatic insects out at Swan Lake.
He agrees with Hudson that the event is great as a way to connect the public with science that grows, eats, sleeps, breathes, and swims all around them.
And also as a long-term indicator of the biodiversity of the area. You know, we hope to do this maybe every 2 years or so for eternity, and just to keep track of literally the numbers of species and the diversity of species we have here through time.
So what are those numbers? Well, there were 120 different species of aquatic invertebrates, 212 insects, 110 kinds of fungi, more than 45 birds, 14 types of fish, 70 mosses, well upward of 200 plants, 31 marine algae and marine plants, and 15 different kinds of mammals. And yes, mammals includes humans, some 230 of whom participated in some part of the 24-hour BioBlitz. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, Sitka.